May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Living in the absence of fear has been the privilege of very few in the course of our world's history. Now we, who have become accustomed to this privilege, are discovering what it means to live in fear. Others throughout our world have always known this fear. Others throughout our own community of Macon have always known this fear. And in the past week, we have yet been reminded again that our world is not a safe place. Many of us are on edge, our head on swivels. Tuesday night in Times Square, the frightening sound of a backfiring dirt bike sent people running. Chief James R. Waters of the NYPD's Counterterrorism Bureau said of the fear, quote, "It's on the screens, it's on their iPhones, it's in their pocket. You can't escape it." If we cannot escape fear, what are we to do about it? It seems instructive then that Jesus' words to his disciples in today's gospel is not, "There's nothing to be afraid of," but rather, "Do not be afraid." Jesus is well aware that there is plenty in this world to fear. In fact, over and over again, he warns his very followers that they will find themselves in fearful situations because of him. In Matthew's gospel, he says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. You'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and his father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake." There is no way to simultaneously follow Jesus in this world and to avoid fearful situations. So if these situations cannot be avoided, what should our response be to them? In today's reading, we spot different approaches to dealing with fearful situations. In our Old Testament reading, we have Abram. Abram, a rich and blessed man, but a man without a male heir. In his time and culture, that was one of the worst things that could happen to you. In not having a male heir, his line doesn't progress. He's forgotten by history. Everything he's worked for has come to nothing. And so he despairs. He becomes nihilistic. He accepts that nature reigns supreme. He's an old man. His wife's an old woman. There's no way that this could work. And so he falls to despair. In our psalm this morning, we read that kings are not protected by their armies, that countries are not protected by their horses. And when we think horses, we need to think their military might. Even kings, even those who have the most protection afforded to them, are not safe. And in the Gospels, we read last week of the rich fool's financial security. If you remember back last week, the parable that Jesus tells of a man who has a great abundance of crops. He builds silos, read 401ks, puts it all in there and says, "I'm set for life." And he is, and in fact dies that very night. The security that he's after, the things he puts his trust in, fail him. What we turn to for security in fearful situations may make us feel better about our situation, but it never truly protects us. This week, I came across a safety announcement from the Milpitas, California Fire Department, an odd place to find a sermon illustration, but go with me. It reads in part, "Due to a heightened fear of crime, people are taking measures to secure their homes and discourage intruders from entering. They're doing this by installing security bars across their windows." The statement goes on. "In the Bay Area, four family members died in a house fire in the city of Milpitas, while several family members perished in another fire in East Palo Alto. in all these incidents. Security bars on windows and locked doors prevented escape from the fire and also prohibited firefighters' rescue attempts. The very things that we cling to for security entrap us. What we turn to for security in fearful situations may make us feel better about the situation, but they can never actually protect us. What then do we turn to in times of fear and insecurity? How is it that we obey Jesus' command, both to Abraham and his disciples, be not afraid? Through faith. We often speak of faith as if it is faith itself that we have faith in. We say things like, well, I guess we'll just have to have faith. We do not put our faith in faith itself. Instead, as Raymond Brown puts it, faith is man's response to what God has said. We put our faith in those things that God has said. So what has God said that we can put our faith in? In today's Genesis reading, God promises Abraham that he will have a son. Despite his age, despite his wife's age, he will have a son. But even more significant, he says, God says to Abraham, I myself shall be your great reward. Abraham is worried that without an heir, his life will have counted for nothing, that he will go to the grave unremembered. Abraham, as our Hebrews reading puts it today, died in faith without having received the promises. He got a son, but he didn't see anything else more than that. In fact, the promise of an heir is not just Isaac, his physical son, but ends up being Jesus Christ, one of his descendants, the true heir, the one who can provide salvation. In today's gospel, Jesus promises his followers, who are tempted to store up treasures on earth, an unfailing treasure, an entire kingdom. And in today's reading from Hebrews, Jesus promises his followers who are exiles, immigrants, and foreigners in this world a homeland, a better country, a city. One of my preaching heroes, J.C. Ryle, puts it this way. The man who does well for himself is the man who gives up everything for Christ's sake. He makes the best of bargains. He carries the cross for a few years in this world, and in the world to come has everlasting life. He obtains the best of possessions. He carries his riches with him beyond the grave. He is rich in grace here, and he is rich in glory hereafter. And best of all, what he obtains by faith in Christ, he never loses. Our absurd quest for security in this life will always fail. Death will make us all paupers. Death will make us all homeless. As we remind ourselves every Ash Wednesday, we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. Yet God promises to those who put their faith in him absolute security. Let us pray. Most loving Father, whose will it is for us to give thanks for all things, to fear nothing but the loss of you, and to cast all our care on you who care for us. Preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal, in which you have manifested to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.